the shores of the Atlantic Ocean in Groton, Connecticut. His subject is Trusting in the Lord's Care. Brother Joe.
If you fall asleep, I begin to speak Italian. Dear friends, I'm very happy to be here with my family in this glorious convention. And it is a privilege to speak to you on the things which are very precious to our hearts. And being away from the world and with you, the Lord's people, it is like being into a new world. And if we could see above us in this hall, there are many angels with us rejoicing as we honor and glory our Heavenly Father. One of the most beautiful expressions of a trust in the Lord is of the Psalm 91:2, which reads, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. These words are even more meaningful when we take in consideration the preceding verse, which reads, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is a comforting statement concerning God's protecting care of His people. Nevertheless, it indicates that there is a condition attached to it, which is that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. From the typical standpoint, this is an allusion to the first holy of the tabernacle, which antitypically is the condition of a full consecration to God and His will. We could not enter into this condition unless called of God. And having heard this invitation through the Word and accepted it by presenting ourselves to Him, it then remained for us to abide into the secret place of His love and protection. And as long as we do abide, we can have a confidence that He will be our refuge and our fortress. While the world looks with fear of the things coming upon the earth, the Lord's people lift up their heads and rejoice, knowing that their deliverance draweth nigh. God's promise to His elect, assuring them of His blessing and protection during these days of trouble can all be depended upon, so that we need not to fear. Another of God's precious promise to His people, which should mean so much to all of us today, is that of Psalm 27:5. It reads, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." We can also rejoice in the thought that although the judgment of God are upon the nations, causing great distress, these are designed for the blessings of all the people during the kingdom work of Christ, when the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Isaiah 16:17. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." 1 Peter 5:7. How reassuring are the many texts of the Scripture which affirm the fact that our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, is able to care for His people. He is all-powerful. He watches over us. His ears always open to our cries for help in time of need. He will not withhold any good things from those who love Him sincerely and have devoted themselves to His service. Psalms 84:11. Again, in 2 Peter 1:4, we read, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promise, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature." The promises of God are a very important factor in the Christian life. So powerful that in this text, the apostle indicate that by yielding to their blessed implications, we are made partakers of the divine nature. It is our faithful compliance with the condition attached to the promises which qualify us to be partaker of the divine nature and to have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. And God's promises are of value to us only in proportion to our faithfulness in obeying His instructions. God is pleased when His people actually believe what He promised. The terms Heavenly Father has a personal and intimate relation to us. It is a term not only of adoration, devotions, but also confidence and trust. Man was created in the image of God, but we do not understand this to refer to a bodily image. However, in order that we may grasp to some extent the unlimited capability of the Creator, the Scripture refers to His various senses of sight, hearing, and smelling. By the use of the language, we're able to understand doth our loving Heavenly Father enter into our feelings, and He is sympathetic to all our needs, and will, through His unlimited agency, care for us. You recall how David asked the question when he says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eyes, shall he not see?" Psalms 94:9. He does see and hear His people. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. Psalms 34:15. In the 7th verse of the psalm, we're informed that the angels of the Lord are camped around about them that fear Him and deliver them. This is an indication of one of the means the Lord used for the care of His people. Jesus spoke of these angels and said that they do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 18:10. Thus they have a perfect knowledge of the Heavenly Father's will for each of His people and can shape the divine providence in their lives in the right manner for the accomplishment of His will. You recall when Peter made an attempt to prevent Jesus' arrest, the Master said to him, "Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and He shall presently give more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion is 6,000. So Jesus was telling Peter that His Father would send more than 72,000 angels for His protection if He was to ask for help. What a picture of a protective strength this presents to us. A single angel in one night destroyed a mighty Assyrian army that was camped around Jerusalem, 2 Kings 19:35. If one angel was capable of delivering God's people from the hands of a large army, think of the protection we have. They see and know every situation of our lives. They've been fully acquainted with God's will for us, are able to shape the course of our Christian lives. It is important, therefore, that in knowing the Lord's providence in our life, we maintain this regard for the ultimate, which is the Lord's viewpoint. He's not working in us merely the accomplishment of what might be His good pleasure for today or tomorrow, but more important, to prepare us for the glory of the future, when, if faithful, we will reign with Christ. Paul presented the proper viewpoint in this connection when he wrote that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Whatever our trials may be, they are in reality to be considered but light afflictions by comparison with the eternal weight of glory. And the Lord knows just how to shape our experiences to accomplish His purpose in our life as new creatures. In Psalm 101:6 we read, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." Here again we are reminded that it is only those who faithfully serve the Lord are the object of His special watch care. "These," the Lord declares, "may dwell with me." How precious is the thought that if we are endeavoring with all our hearts to know and to do the Lord's will, it means that we are to dwell with Him in the secret place of His presence. And this, after all, is where we should always delight to be. The psalmist speaks of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. God is able to know what we will do without controlling our action. This is because His eyes is able to discern that which goes quite beyond our comprehensions. And the best we can do is to understand the meanings of what is taking place in our lives today and the experiences through which we passed yesterday. And even here, our understanding is quite limited. However, many of the Lord's people can look back in their lives and note the wonderful way in which the Lord's overruling their experience, in which the Lord was overruling their experience even before they knew Him. And this is still more true of His wonderful care in our lives since we dedicate ourselves to do His will. We can trace His overruling, which brought us in contact with the truth and with Jesus and with the brethren. And after we made a full consecration of ourselves to do His will, His came providences in our lives have been more outstanding. And we should find easy to realize that He who led us and blessed us in the past will continue to do so in the future. In the book of Proverbs 15:3, we are told that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. This is very comforting because it assures us that no matter where we are or what the circumstances may be, the Lord sees both the good and the evil. That is, He knows the circumstances which are favorable to us as a new creature, and also sees the evil influence which are pressing against us. This means that the Lord is always aware of the difficulties which confront us, and any effort which might be made by the adversary to hinder our progress in the narrow way, the Lord will use His mighty power to prevent it. How wonderful this is in a moment when our faith might not be as strong as it should be. We might temporarily wonder if the Lord really knows about the complex of our trials and if He really cares for us in each situation. But we have the assurance of His words that He sees every place, and understand every situation and able to care for us regardless what the circumstances may be. And He will care for us if we continue faithfully to walk in the narrow way and put our trust in Him. David, the man of God, knew that the Lord was with him in every experience in his life when he wrote, "If I ascend in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost part of the earth, the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." Psalm 139:8-11. How beautifully David emphasized God's love and care for his people. No matter where we may be, even if we fear that our mistakes may have taken us away from the Lord and His care, we can still be assured that He leads us and that He upholds us. If conditions seem dark around us and that we are uncertain of the direction for which we should go, we can be sure that the darkness is as a light to our Heavenly Father. He's never confused by the complex situations which may discourage us. Our Lord is always sympathetic to our aches and pains. We may not be able to see Him in every change in circumstances of our life, but by faith we know that His mighty power will sustain us and will not permit us to be tested above that which we are not able to bear. And if our burdens become too great, He will provide a way of escape. We have in Job a wonderful example of faith in God's love and care. Job did not understand why the Lord had permitted such severe experience to come to him. Everything in his life which he had treasured and which he had accepted as being given to him by the Lord was removed, even his health. Job did not understand this, but continued to believe that the Lord knew all about his trouble. And as he was passing through the deep sorrow, he explained his search for God, saying, "Behold, I go forward, but He's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. He hiding Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as a gold." Job 23:8-9. This is a wonderful, true description of the experience which the Lord permits to come to all who are faithful to Him. And the purpose that they serve is to test their fidelity to the Lord's. And the fact that He knows what is best for us. Oh, how many times we all have searched for the Lord's in trials which they have come upon us. Job says that he looked in every direction, symbolically describing his attempt to understand the meaning of the calamity which had come upon him and why God, whom he trusted and served faithfully, had permitted them to come. But Job trusted the Lord, even though he couldn't understand why this severe calamity had come upon him. And his faith convinced him that God's love and care were being manifested in his life, even though his own reasoning on the matter would led him to believe otherwise. The Apostle Peter described the situation like this as the trials of your faith, which he explained is more precious than gold and perish, though it be tried with fire. And this is important. The reason we can trust in the Lord and know that He is caring for us, regardless of the circumstances which might indicate otherwise. Our faith in His ability to see beyond the immediate present, and therefore to shape our experiences in a manner to accomplish the ultimate purpose He has in mind for us in His great plan of the age. And when we remember that God's design for us is that we might obtain glory, honor, and immortality with Christ in His kingdom, we will realize that the trials of the present are not worthy to be compared with the glory of the future. The psalmist wrote, "The eyes of the Lord is upon thee, upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Psalm 33:18. And we all know, my dear brethren, that there is a little or nothing in the present evil world that is favorable to the development and growth of the Lord's people as new Christians in Christ. We could very well say, as a new creature, that we are surrounded by famine condition, which apart from the Lord's love and care would lead us to death. The fact that we feel weak for the test before us, it gives our Heavenly Father an opportunity to use His mighty power on our behalf. As the prophet Isaiah 40:29 indicate, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no mighty He increases strength. When Paul prayed for the removal of his thorn in the flesh, and his request was not granted, he accepted the Lord's will in the matter, explaining that the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." To this Paul added, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity than the power of Christ may rest upon me." Sometime, my dear friends, even those who might be inclined to think that they are strong are not really so strong when it comes to walking in the narrow way. And none of us are able to maintain our faithfulness and zeal for the Lord without His help. There are too many opposition, too many opposing forces against the Lord's people. And the only way we can win the struggle is by looking and wait upon the Lord for grace and help. How blessed indeed it is the privilege of waiting upon the Lord, knowing that He is, knowing that in His own way and time He will provide strength, that He does love us, that He does love us and care for us in all the circumstances of our lives. Sometimes the experience which seemed difficult for us may and usually are evidence of His love, because He knows our need better than we do and will see to it that when the need is for bitterness, then need He will supply, and He also supply this sweetness in order to fill our hearts and life with joy. But remember, dear friends, the channel of communication must be open continually between us and the Lord. And in order to claim His kind promise for our own, we must manifest an active faith in them and endure whatever the Lord may see that we need. Our faith in God's care and His overruling providence in our life as a Christian should enable all of us to realize that nothing can come to us except by divine promises. And many times our most painful experiences are actually by His permission. If we can but have a confidence that this is so, we will endure with joy whatever the trial of the Lord may see that we need. In order that our worthiness in His promise may be manifested, we all know that our wise and heavenly Father sees exactly what we need for our training, in order that we may be shaped and made to receive the crown of glory with all the saints. You recall that with reference to the Lord's feeling towards His typical Israel, the prophet declared, "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eyes," Zechariah